Hey guys, welcome to Running Highs and Community Ties, the official podcast for Hills for ETL. My name is Lindsay Sizemore, and I am so excited about our guest that we have with us tonight. I've been trying to get her on this podcast for a few weeks now, and we have success. And so tonight we're going to be able to once again uncover more and more stories about those of us who are out there at Hills for ETL. We have acknowledged that there's so much diversity, and there's so many positive people. But in order for us to grow a little bit deeper together, we've created this platform so that we can really hear who each other are and what they're about and, you know, what makes them happy. And so I'm excited today. We actually have Annalise with us. I don't know, like, you pronounce your last name.
Annalise Boyle.
So she is just a rock star, you guys. Everyone is just always talking about how positive she is. They've been telling people over and over again that she has this incredible story of strength and perseverance. And I just needed to get her on here like ASAP. I want to be able just to like give me this opportunity just to share a little bit about your story and just say thank you for being able to be willing to just be transparent with us. I have been told that you're a book. So that's perfect. I feel like you and I are a lot alike in that sense. So Annalise, tell us a little bit about who you are and how did you make it to Atlanta and a little bit about like, you know, what you do.
Okay, so I like to describe myself as the hardest working person I know, the strongest person that I know. I've been through quite a few trials and tribulations in my life that have led me to be able to be that way. I grew up in Conyers, Georgia, so east of Atlanta. I was born in Hilton Head, and I only lived there for 8 years. So I was such a baby that I can't hear so much.
Conyers is what? Like about 45 minutes to an hour from Atlanta?
Yeah.
Depending on time?
Probably from Hills, like locators right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
So pretty close.
I guess went there at elementary school, did elementary, middle, high. My dad actually lived in the city, so every other weekend I was in the city. So that's kind of how I got my love for the city. After I graduated high school, I went to the University of Georgia for the next 4 years. So I was in Athens, and then when I left there, I immediately came back to the city because of my love for the city. So I've been there ever since, but I think that's that.
Say ships? Yeah. Well, and you seem like you're a really fish person. Has this been, was this a part of your, do you like sports? Is it growing up or,
yes. You
know, you're pretty involved in that way? What is it?
So, hit a little bit of everything, but nothing was an object. But I started in sports and gymnastics, and I swam in the summer. My neighborhood had the summer league. So I did gymnastics up until level 9, basically. And then I hurt my back, and so I got out of that in high school. And then I tried to fill that void of kind of what gymnastics gave me. So everybody knows it's not an easy sport. I've been training 4 or 5 days a week for 4 hours at a time. So once I didn't have that, it was, okay, what do I do with my time?
Yeah.
So I did cheerleading in the fall season, and then I swam in the winter season, and then in the springtime, I needed to find something, and it was either cross-country or tennis. I mentioned I'm not great with objects, so I was like, but I also don't like to run. So I figured out how to play tennis in year one, but I was thinking,
you also figured out how to stay active. It seems like no matter what, going out on it. And so, like, even going from gymnastics to cheerleading, you could do competition training
only in middle school. So
that's definitely too much. I did competition cheerleading too, but I love the competitive part of that.
Right.
You know, and I can see how that could ease so from like gymnastics to this.
They're similar, you know?
Sort of. I mean, especially that fit ones.
Yeah.
Yep. But you can definitely get hurt and you can definitely push yourself. And I know that it requires a ton of commitment just, you know, just in getting better and better for hours and hours a day. Just the same.
Yeah. When I've always been active, I always loved that even before. Like, I remember in high school, before we go to gymnastics, I would be like, I would run miles and I'm like, oh, you're crazy. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I like to be outside. I like to exercise. So after I got on gymnastics, I mentioned I picked up the other sports. And then when I left high school, you know, I didn't go to college for a sport or anything. So
did you find yourself exercising in college?
Yes. So I had two jobs in college. I know that we've talked about it before too. Two jobs. I had a sorority. I had a dog. I had all these things, but I still felt time to not be focusing. Yeah, focus on my fitness.
So when you were visiting your dad like every other weekend, what are some things you guys did in his life?
Whatever was around. So festivals, like in Piedmont Park, you know, there's like all these festivals every weekend. We would do that. Sometimes we would go up to Helen. We would
anything around the city. Would it be just you and him, or would it be, you said your brothers and sisters, right?
Yes. So I have a twin brother, and then I have an older brother that's 2 years older.
I'm a twin as well.
I didn't know
that. But to me, she's a twin sister. We're complete opposites. But that's so.
See, you're also complete opposites.
Yeah.
I'm more like older brother. So it's kind of weird now, like, things out. But my twin brother favors my mom a lot. So they have more of, like, that's the worry gene, you know, the
easily stressed gene.
And you're like, whatever, and don't care. Like, white guys are close, take it, figure it out.
You have to go for it,
yeah.
Just go for it. I really love framing one.
Yeah, let's go.
Nothing wrong with that. I think that actually just really, really adds to like, care, you know, to everyone around you, honestly, because that is such like a leader, you know what I mean? I ought to just go for things because people are watching that and they're attracted to that, you know? Okay, so got some experience in Atlanta. And then just going to VA. You said it like it wasn't a big deal. That's like a big deal. So clearly you're brilliant. And you went to UGA for what?
Initially it started actually in biology. And when I went to school there, I worked at a plant biology genetics lab. So I realized I like to talk to people, so I cannot work a real job company, you know, like only the plants. I do a human or something. So let us say experience as far as the biology and the genetic side of things. I worked there for 4 years. But I realized I don't want to study a plant or, you know, like marine life or anything like that in biology, everything. Environmental.
Exactly.
Can I change my major to nutrition dietetics because it only focused on the human and the human body? Jeez.
And I'm sure you probably learned a lot during that. During those studies, even if now you're doing something totally different, right?
So now I actually work for a company called Visclitech. I sell dispensing equipment for semi-automatic and fully automatic production lines. So if you think that everything gets packaged, processed somehow, I work mainly with just the FDA customers. So if you think of the end product being a pre-filled syringe, whether that's like a vaccine or with the way the world is right now, dermal fillers are such a thing. So essentially that dermal filler gets filled into the syringe. My equipment does that filling.
Is it hard to sell stuff like that?
It requires a lot of technical knowledge. So I'm a business development manager, very technical sales engineer. So I speak a lot to the engineering side of the business. So
what's beyond the knowledge?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So you learned that over the years. And so now it's probably like, you know, not that difficult. Do you have a team that works with you, or is it just kind of like,
so
here and your client?
My company is a German-based company. So the headquarters is in a place called Togni, about an hour east of Munich. There's 350 roughly employees there in the U.S. So we're just a subsidiary. My office is in Prince. So there's about 30 of us.
You're right.
When I first started, I went to Germany for 2 weeks, Italy for 1 week after. I did the majority of my training there, but
the whole training thing you like that.
It's the honor as you go, obviously. So as I'm talking to my customers, as I, you know, have like my VP on my calls, that's backed up and stuff like that. You get familiar with what the end customer needs or what their questions are going
to
be. So
have they ever like tried to get you to move to Germany or anything like that?
No. Okay. I wouldn't go.
Okay. Now, so you got even raised in Georgia, had some interest in Atlanta through memories with your father. You are now killing it at this engineer company that Sally used to buy service.
Okay.
And how, what are you, what areas do you cover? You're like U.S. and Canada?
U.S. and Canada.
U.S.
So I mentioned I only sell to hygienic applications. So I work with all customers that have FDA requirements. Okay. My company as a whole, we do dispensing equipment from industrial technologies all the way to pharma technologies. So we have quite the business. But my focus alone is just the FDA-based customers. I also and head of our business development for our bioprinting sector. So it's essentially people that are bioprinting cells, universities, researchers can use my printheads to biometrically print these cells and do different studies with them.
Yeah. That is almost like foreign language for me, but it does sound like there is a ton of room for continuous advance.
Yes, especially personalized medicine, personalized health. Yes, which is what I love. That's the passion.
You're working with people, and a lot of people don't have jobs where there is a way to continue to level up or expand, and it's not like there's those opportunities are pretty endless.
Yeah, so wherever I can create businesses, where I can go, where I can sell into.
I love it. I
don't have a team here in the U.S., but I have a team in Germany that I am working on projects. So there's global projects that go on.
You don't have a team in the U.S. yet, but it's just me right now.
Yeah.
But I can see like you.
If I create enough business, then I will have to have someone.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be already the leader that you are in as far as your journey so far. I can totally see you having the whole team of people on ACO. That's my sort of goal. We'll get into the goal. So, all right. Into fitness, killing it, work. How did you, if you're working in consulting, where do you live right now? And you live in Atlanta?
I live in Smyrna.
Okay.
So I live like a mile from the Air Stadium.
Okay, cool. There's a ton of cool restaurants right there. How did you get into schedules for ATL?
I basically saw people posting on Instagram, reposting on Instagram, and I would watch the videos. I said, wow, okay, that looks like a challenge that I need to try.
Are you one of those people that just, like, follow a bunch of fitness pages, or were they your friends that were posting videos on
it? I think it was, you know, mutual connections.
Yeah,
I don't have a ton of followers or anything, but it was people that, maybe I've met in college or something. You know,
I
talk to everyone. And so it's like one of those, like, I talk to a party and I follow you on Instagram, I follow you for forever.
Like, yes, guys,
one of those things.
Okay.
But I knew I wanted to, at the time, basically, which I know we'll get into my story and my brain surgery and stuff, but I had gained a lot of weight after I had brain surgery, but I wasn't able to work out. So I had kind of reshaped my thinking, okay, I need to get back into fitness slowly. I started doing cardio. It wasn't really working for my body. So I started lifting weights, which is what I did in college too. And I love the lifting weights part. And so then I went from one extreme, which was only cardio, to the other extreme, which was only lifting weights. Was that, okay, I see this whole thing. It looks like a challenge. It looks like something I can, you know, push myself to do. And so then I just started having, I fell in love with the community. I fell in love with the positivity. You know, like we said, everybody has a story that goes there. So you can meet so many different people. And my focus right now is to surround myself with like-minded people who are also valuing health and fitness.
Right.
Work for Beer German, work for Focus, and that's really what you find.
Yeah, you do. You really do. I mean, we share that goal of like, you know, what we're going to work out, we're going to honor our bodies, we're going to challenge ourselves for this hour. But then we find there's so much more to what we're actually gaining here. And I think when you're right, when you surround yourself by people with like shared goals, who are also trying to better themselves, that is where you uncover the other pieces, the other beautiful pieces of other people. And the energy is just so good, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can show up and not know. I did show up for a while and did not know a soul. And I was just there because I knew that I didn't have like me in here.
So I will bother my friends every Tuesday and I'll say, Hills tomorrow. And no one responds. Say, okay, I guess I need to cook myself. But that, you know, pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. Okay. Not being scared to go by yourself. So I'm like, for the first time, I think I had a few friends go with me, and there is friends that do come, but not like regularly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whatever. If I go by myself, and I go by myself. And I do. And then whenever I go by myself, I meet people, great people. I mean, you know, everybody has stories. So.
And you still have a good time.
Yes. Yes. And you also have to make everyone smile. We're happy to have a bond together.
Yeah, exactly. I have such a good time regardless of if I know anybody or not, just because we're doing something. I thought it was fitness, and then I walk away, you go back to my car, and I just feel good inside. I feel like, wow, that's a great way to end my day, because most of the time I do the afternoon. Do you do the mornings?
No.
You do?
Okay, yeah. I can do mornings because when I'm not traveling for work, I have to be in the office at 8, so it doesn't work with me. And I also ate warrants anyway, so I'm going to do it at 8:30.
And an office at 8, but
yeah. I love the night. My second job in college is bartending, so I've always been like a night schedule. So I like the 6:30s. I like that we hang out afterwards a little bit. Sometimes they have events, you know, at the restaurants close by, Park Tavern or whatever. So,
well, I will say, some of the people that go in the morning, they love it so much, they go back again. And they do two a day. I'm like, okay, I would love to be two a day. I've done it like one time. Yeah. But it is just so much fun because in the mornings, you also get to see the sunrise.
Yeah.
Sunset. And so, didn't you say that like you as a kid, like with your father, like you actually like went and hung out and played at the Pima bars, right?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, the different festivals, you know, that they put on there. So he had us every other weekend. So he was a real estate agent in the city. So we grew up at Pima Park for a little bit, both Fort Ward, Grant Park, so really all around
the city. Right.
Yeah, right there. So when you have three kids every weekend, they want, you know, I had two brothers, so we were play outside shit. We weren't like play on the iPad here, you know. So he took us to the park. My brothers were skateboarders and stuff, and so we always were outside being active. So I actually spent his birthday this year rounding hills in Piedmont Park. So it's like a full circle moment. People always ask me, oh, Jason Kilmer moves out of Georgia, where did Glaston take you? I personally don't think I'll ever move out of Georgia. I like the fact that I'm surrounded by its memories. It sounds even better to be able to spend it with me.
What, 2018?
28.
Yeah, that's literally like past
it, yes.
And so you going to hills and being reminded of his love and who he was for you. Like, I would have never known that.
Like,
right. I would never known that. We're up there running a hill. And we're hanging out, we're having a great time. I would have never known that it was that it ran deeper for you.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to be like able to cherish his memory and make him laugh, you know, you run up this hill. Oh, any lower would have felt like telling you, perhaps a bitter and tired, but I'm not thinking about it. Really, don't think about it. I'm very pro.
We was the crazy one. Me and my brother got the crazy too.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that he passed, but I think that it's really a beautiful thing that you're out there and you get to cherish his memories. I lost my mom too. And it's like, I always looked for ways so I can like, you know, list her out and honor her in my day to day. And it's so cool that like Hills gets to be that way for you. Like, yeah. It's a weekly basis. It'll feel right now.
And it's something that you have to, you know, when you experience loss in your life, you have to look at the positive. You have to smile at the memories, right? You have to cherish the lives and the moments that you have with them. So I know sometimes people try to block that, try to use coping mechanisms or everything, you know, not feel. But at least for me, I found, okay, this is the life that I was dealt with. How do we move forward, but still, you know, preserve the memories and smile at them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with that. And I think it's also cool that it's not only the thing of your being a dad, but did you or did you not bring your mom to Hills? How old is she?
My mom is almost 60. And she would tell everybody on the hill when she's running out of it that she's almost 60 and she's out here running the hills faster than like it.
How did you feel run out?
She's just very active. So my mom kind of instilled the, you guys are going to, be active. You guys are going to do sports because it keeps, it instills discipline, right? You got to be up age. So she was, she was like 36 weeks pregnant or something with twins, and had my older brother in stroller would still run and do marathons and do races and stuff. It was the big brother. So when I told her about hills, she's like, okay, easy. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So she eventually comes, and I'm there. Please let me introduce her, but I'm going to feel like I know her a little bit better after it.
Okay, crazy, but yeah. Well, it's fine. It's fine.
But I'm grateful for that because she is filled with values and I'm setting her age. And it's fine how we can do it together. That's a healthy thing to do together.
Yeah.
It's not, she loves wine, but it's not going drinking or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
So, okay. So you obviously, you're killing it with fitness. You're still pretty family oriented. We'll get into that in a second. And so what I want to ask you now is, what are some things right now that you're doing in your life that's kind of give you purpose? You're such a positive light for so many people. You're very good at finding the goal in the silver lining in most things, and that comes from a strength of perspective. What are some things that you are doing now that are giving purpose?
I mentioned my job, my career. I'm very career driven. That's one thing that gives me purpose. I get to work on cool projects in the medical field. I love everything about medicine. I love getting to be a part of that. So that really gives me purpose. And that started from a young age, as I've been through a lot of medical things in my life. Outside of my career, I volunteer at Lifeline Homecoming Animal Shelter. So that gives me a lot of purpose. I started that recently. I lost my 9-year-old best friend, Callie. And before that, I gave her everything I had. So I wouldn't have found myself in shelter. So now he's on some purpose going there, giving back to basically dogs that sometimes don't see the outside or the kennel. Or sometimes weeks, that they all have to get put outside at least once, but maybe they've moved from one kennel to like an outdoor kennel. Or they're not walked, they're not really loved. There's volunteers and there's staff, but there's a huge problem, in Georgia with overbreeding and stuff like that. So the shelters are constantly at full capacity. There's just not enough people that can get there to walk them. But when I go there, I luckily have an app that says, okay, which ones need to be walked, rather than walked, I guess, recently. So I'll load an app and I'll go down. And I use that as kind of like a way of burning calories and fitness too. So I start my watch literally when I go there. I get my treats and everything and poop times, things like that. And I go down my app and I'm like, okay, this one hasn't been out in a few days. So I will take that one. I'll run them outside the back. And I'll run them half a mile. I'll put them back in the kennel, make sure the kennel's clean, make sure they have a bed or a blanket. This month, it's out, but some of these dogs don't even have a bed. When you think, like, you have a dog, right?
Right.
So you think of all the love that you give your dog. We stay the less fortunate. It's like, okay, I can really do something good here.
Rachel, we want to go do this right now. And it sounds like the staff for these shelters, they have their list. They now like their check boxes. So they like have a
duty of what, like the sections of the shelter that they basically constantly clean. You think that your dog has, that's 3 walks a day, probably more. These dogs only get out once a day. They essentially sometimes go to the bathroom in their kennel. So the staff's job is, to make sure they're clean, make sure they have a bed or a blanket, make sure they have, their food where they're fed, and then full fresh water. And so you need to come in now and really like look at who guys are at and you go out in the wild. And you get to kind of look at the other things, not just the typical checkbox. Or like, who's actually see the sun? Who's got any playtime today? And or which ones can I go and spend a little bit of time with? I just want you to know that that really does matter to them.
Oh, no,
it does. Awesome. I'm a dog lover for me. You know, dogs more than me. People, and I love people a lot, but I'm just dogs. There's just something else about them. And I'm just like, I think they were about to be best friends.
I want to meet your dog a little soon.
It's been a gooey purpose. I have so much love to give. So I'm like, okay, I can't give it to my baby anymore. So I can give it to all the other ones that need it the most.
Was the dog getting involved? Like just as a volunteer or not? So not how really?
You do have to take classes. So, for safety wise, you have to go to one of their facilities and do like a training or something like that. And then you do different mentorships with, a volunteer that might be more seasoned than you. And then once you get comfortable, they say, you're free to go walk essentially whichever dogs you can in your level. So there's level 1, level 2, level 3, based on behavior profiles, obviously. But I've been around dogs my whole life. I had mine for 9 years.
Yeah.
She wasn't the nicest of the dogs. So I'm kind of comfortable. Slightly aggressive dog, so I feel comfortable with all of them.
Have you heard the saying that's like, dogs are a chapter in our life, but to a dog, you are their whole
world. Yeah,
and I just like, look at mine. She's good. I'm gonna keep you forever, but I'll probably end up doing something just like what you're doing. He's like, yeah, I was dog sitting for years and years and years, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to try this on my own and see. I know it's going to hurt, but like, I love her so much.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned I had no business getting a dog. What about a dog? I had 2 jobs. I had the sorority. I had everything kind of went on, but I said, I need a dog too. But she really changed my life in every single way for the better. I don't think that you realize how much life they bring to your life until you have one.
Right.
And then every day, they just are so happy to see you.
Yeah.
You're their whole world. You're their whole life.
It's therapy. It's a totally different type of therapy. And they just get to that ears and I'm super close to them. And,
I say that she taught me discipline. She taught me loyalty. She taught me so many things that I wouldn't be the same person I am today if I didn't know how to.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm called that.
All right, self-care. So you talked to, honestly, your dog was a big part of your therapy.
Yes, and my steps outside, I would be everything every day. So,
you told me a little bit about how maintaining a sense of gratitude and positivity is that is your weapon against life. It's literally armed with that. And you have, it seems like you wake up every day and you're like, this is what I'm going to be. And this is what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that you have full control over, everything in your life, obviously to a certain extent. Right. But if you focus on the positive things in your life, then that's what you'll be. If you focus on the negative things, then that's what you'll be. And that's what other people will also see from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you would see that the positives with all the negatives that have been around in my life and all the sadness and the traumas and things. I don't focus on those things. I look at them like, okay, this is it. How do we move through that? I might not have my father, but I have the memories. I might not have my dog, but I have the memories. I'd have, the way that they shape me as a person and all the good things. I think it helps you also realize we're not going to be here forever. Every breath, every minute, every second, you never know when it's your time to go. I believe that only God knows that. So every second is a blessing.
It's a blessing, and it can all change in a matter of second.
You never got one from me yet. Absolutely.
So you may as well be happy and focusing on positives while you can.
Yeah. And Also,
and they're always there.
Yes.
They're always, oh, yeah, they're always there. I mean, I don't want to see you. I'm telling you, I get heartbreak. I get lost. I get betrayal. I get grief. I get it all, but it is always there if you look for it.
Right. And I think that everybody has it in son and born. So it's also, you know, I look at my life. It's like, okay, you never know the battles, the struggles that somebody's going through. So I want to, focus myself on being that positive for somebody. If I can be that,
yeah,
I can provide that. And I feel like I've been successful.
And your consistency, like you said a second ago, it literally is, it's illuminating this for other people to see, hey, I can actually think this way too. It doesn't have to be Annalise is different.
Right.
No, Annalise is consistent.
Yeah.
And so maybe I can, if I'm around her and I see her being this way constantly, no matter what she's having to face, it's an option at me now as well.
Right.
And you don't even know half the people that you even like touch with that. And some people are probably like, Annalise, it's just so positive. You know, here she goes. Like, it's not a racial, yeah, those things.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what's leading their mark?
But also, it's like, okay, you can also be that way. You know,
feels better.
If you don't like your job, get a new one, right?
If you don't like something about yourself, like your weight or something, okay, let's work out. How do we change those things? You know, if you don't like where you live, you're not choosing to lose, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. And we really do really feel like you, like, just to continue to bring up those options, because there's so many people that don't have a lot of hope out there right now. You know what I mean? And having someone who is, you know, just alive and happy to be alive and happy for whatever it is that's in front of them. You know what I mean? And, like, really are able to like show up and help them see and hear options that they may not have even thought of. And it may even empower them because the like popular thought of that, you know, it doesn't work out like perfectly with every single person, but I think that because your authentic like intention to do this for people from the moment you go and you're around whatever room you walk in, it just really, really speaks to your character, and it really is making a difference, and it feels good inside.
And it does,
yeah, that's good. So trying to help who I can help.
Dogs are humans, right?
Yes. And I hope everyone listening to this podcast understands that this mentality, the way that we're even talking right now, none of this stuff happens overnight. And it definitely doesn't happen for a lot of people who maybe haven't overcome some challenges, right? And when we face these challenges, everybody does, because life is what it is, right? But there's the challenge is that we may have faced, and I know you have, that you thought in some sort of moment, dark moment, that you didn't know if you're gonna make it, you know, and then you did. And so there's some sort of level of appreciation for life that comes with getting your life back. And when I say getting your life back, it's not just, oh my God, I'm alive another day. It's like I got my life back, I got my creativity back, I got some solid friends in my life. I got my tilt back, you know, stuff like that. It goes so much deeper. And so I'm going to hear just a few challenges that you overcame that you're just proud of, because I want everybody to know. So can you be proud of it too?
Yes. One of the rates of the one I like to touch on the most, we talked about it a little bit, so I lost my while there. In 2018, so right after I graduated, basically my senior year was really bad. She was battling a few conditions, but essentially meningitis. And then he was so sick that he had formed a mass or a tumor. Where I'm really sure, but he was so sick, like you know, surgery wasn't an option. So I was in and out of the hospital. It was him for more year. So I thought the few doubts, the thought that it was so much, but it's like, I'd always had to deal with so much, so I carry a buffer. Doesn't mean it's not heavy, right? But going through that, just, you know, when you're so close to death and you see that it's such a real thing, there's nothing else you can be. And I went to keeping his memory alive.
It sounds like fake goodness that thin too.
Yeah, so I'm a very religious person. I believe in God and in heaven. So I believe that
I will see my dad again one day. Hope they are. See my dog again one day too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that,
but I don't know.
But it's really shaped me into who I am and really focusing on the positive things. And outside of that, so a year after I lost my father, like told me about I had to have brain surgery. So it was the day after my 23rd birthday, I actually had brain surgery.
My
yes. And I had mentioned to you, I had some medical history before the brain surgery, but I wasn't expecting the brain surgery. That was the new thing for me.
You probably weren't expecting on the doctor to say, yeah, I need to have brain surgery. Like, I mean, I shouldn't even imagine in that moment, in that first initial conversation, what was even going through your mind?
Yeah, so I mentioned I had a blood clot back when I was younger. And so I had kind of symptoms. I had migraines with aura, but they mimic strokes. So because I had the blood clot history, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm having a stroke. I reached out to my doctor that did my surgery on my blood clot, and he was like, I can't see you until you go to the ER and get a scan and make sure you didn't have a stroke. So when I went to the ER, they scanned me. They said you didn't have a stroke, but your ventricles are enlarged, which means that something is not right. They said you can be born with it. But I was at Emory, so okay, granted, everything to make sure that you were either born open or something is not right. So when they did that, they essentially found what I had was called Chiari malformation. I like to say my brain was so big that it was falling out of my skull.
My skull was a little bit too small for my brain.
So he told me, you want to do the surgery on a Friday? And I told him no. I said, I have a dog, I have a job, I have, I'm going to the Masters, I'm going to Talladega, I'm doing all these things. So I said, if I'm going to sign my life away and I might not make it because we're going to operate this in your cerebellum really close to your brainstem, I said, I'm going to do all the things and then, and then I'll tell it. And the date was the day after my 23rd birthday. So
I look at you, say,
my life is short, so this my story let it get written, and it's bigger. So, we have control over our daily activities and what we choose to focus on things. But
that's probably where that's both
hard to date and mature.
Yeah, that's probably where you get that that part of you that's like that go getter part of you. Like, hey, we got to make the most life right now. Yeah. Because you've
all that,
you did that to the doctor. He said, I know, I'm going to do for my thing. No, he definitely wouldn't. But you know what? I think it would have done the same thing. She like this
felt craving. Probably.
Awesome. Well, okay. So the most positive that you guys are pretty tight knit,
wouldn't they?
And so tell me a little bit about how, your family and maybe your community has played a big part in the strength that you have today.
Yeah. So I mentioned that I have a twin brother, I have a big brother. I don't have a big family. Some people are blessed to have big families and nieces and nephews and all these things, but it's really only been us. My parents were from the north, so my mom is from New Hampshire, my dad is from Vermont. My dad actually managed hotels. So, they ended up on the south because of his job. So that's how we were kind of separated from our families. We really only had each other. But honestly, going through the hard things that we've been through makes us even that much closer. Yeah. And even the fact that we didn't only had each other, we almost spent time together. I would like to say that, it's always a fight. Not a bad fight, but going on in the household. I mean, yeah, and kids are learning their place in life and everything. I would kind of jump on whoever's side of losing. So if my brothers were beating each other up, I'm like, God, which one do I need to help? My God, my mom, and girls are loving. Just you try to keep everybody saying. But yeah, we're all very like-minded. We've been during such tough times, I think, with my dad. I've already seen things differently. It's, the way you process things is different. But at the end of the day, it made us stronger and made us closer.
And your father.
So nobody always can rely, on each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I do think the older we get, and when we really have, matured in this place of, it's healed in a lot of ways, too. That relationship and that bond just continues to grow into a deeper, more mature way. But it sounds like your mom was, working 3 jobs, that she was doing everything she could to, keep your little family together.
Yeah,
and she's apparently running and I saw another one with them in the mills.
Maybe tomorrow.
Oh, and Charles today. So maybe the next week. But either way, all the weeks. Yeah, she works
in Duluth, so it's hard for her. But she tries to make a point at least once a month to get down there with me. But my family as a whole, we've always been in sports. Very active. My older brother, he is a bodybuilder now, so he's also very into fitness. My twin brother played college soccer, so we've always been interested in sports and fitness, and so we've always been able to share that love, and I think that started.
Where does your twin brother
live? He actually lives in Selwyn, so east. He's not too far. My older brother's in Knoxville, Tennessee, actually, so he's not as close, but we're still close.
So I know that you've talked a lot about things that give you purpose, and I can see how they do, because you might have been into hell and back.
The Marilyn
Worst song. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? You don't have to sing it. No. Have you seen it? Okay. Last way to see it, we got. Okay. But as far as this love and respect to give other people, and just to be a light in a life, what about that motivates you so much? I mean, was there somebody that did that for you, and you just decided, or you just kind of felt like you naturally just been that way?
If I had to choose, my parents always, they're very positive, but I think really what made me be that positive person is going through the hard times. But really saying that's what motivates me is just taking things as they come and open arms, whatever it may be.
Because you mentioned that, you just never know,
what's going to happen.
Or you don't know what's going to happen, but you also don't know what anybody's worth facing.
Right.
There were so many days, I'm sure of it. You don't even have to say it. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that as we were facing and navigating all of those things, you had to go to work. You had to talk to a certain friend, or you had to go to the grocery store and somehow, have a smile and breathe and do that. And this is what you didn't even think you could do in the midst of tackling all of these diets. You know what I mean?
And I think once you feel that deep level of pain yourself, it gives you almost a grace with others. I really try to be that positive, that light. You never know, because you can look at me, you think I had brain surgery. No one, you would be able to look at someone and think, okay, this is what they've been to. Or you don't look at someone and say, oh, they just lost their grandmother. And then a month later, they lost their grandfather. Because that, you don't look and see that. That's what has been recently going on in my life,
And so oddly, you're so self-aware. And you're self-aware about yourself. You're aware that anything could be going on behind that person's eyes, and so you might as well love and respect them and try to be as kind as possible. So last question, what are you running towards? What are some goals? You're super career driven and you're 28 and there's nothing that's stopping you right now. Tell us a little bit about something you're working towards, and is there any way that Hills for ATL or us as your community, how can we support you, even if it's just sitting on the sidelines cheering you on?
I'm working towards a few things, actually. So obviously, I talk a lot about my career, developing my customer base and doing that, but it's one of my main focuses. Another thing is really just to be in my optimal health, whether that's going to the gym 5 times a week like I do, or challenging myself with different races, different runs, I just ran a 5K with my friend. It is a few weeks ago, the Pride 5K. Yeah,
how'd you feel?
I felt good. The one I did before that was also with Hills, actually. That was like first 5K to ever
ran. My mom did it.
And
so I realized, okay,
set boundaries for myself, not boundaries, but I guess goals for myself that are maybe seem kind of hard, but they're achievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's my focus right now is optimal health, optimal like well-being, mental clarity, so being fully open with my feelings, with my emotions, and then how can I be the best version of myself?
Yeah. So I think you're doing a damn good job. And I'll definitely go run the next 10K with you and show you that you can do that.
You agreed to run the...
And I'll also do that the next week. Thank you so much. Listen, when you get around people that are also willing to do goals that scare you just a little bit,
a lot.
These are the things that you will talk about for the rest.
Yes.
There is no more dull moment ever. It doesn't matter if you're around complete strangers because I just completed this race. I just did this with my career. I'm going over here. It's endless. And I tell people it's because you choose goals.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit and you're already doing it.
And if it challenges you, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. If it hurts a little bit, it's still a good thing.
Okay.
Well, and sometimes you just need a little extra push and those people around you that say it absolutely can be done.
All right.
And so that's what we're going to do. So we'll do a 10K. It'll take literally out
of your life.
And then we'll
know a joke.
And then we'll
have some fun.
Yes. And then we'll get us all the way to an actual marathon. And then we will be 4 months out before May, which I'm in, and we're going to go do the run.
We're going to run to run.
Is that what it's called?
Apparently.
Great. This week,
the Great Shannon will have a group of us, 45 to 48 miles, depending on which route you want to take. But I think it's crazy. It's a crazy goal.
Great
with all, and you're out in God's beauty and just enjoying every moment, enjoying every breath, scenic view, everything. So
wicked down is a goal of mine right now.
Obviously, it's next year, but I need time to prepare.
Yes, but there was a couple of us with that because there's
obviously Hills in the Great Range and it's not.
Oh, we're going to find people and Jill's to do this with.
Stress me. This way.
This is how it all.
I'm sure some people hear about this.
Yeah, all right, you guys, hopefully you enjoyed tonight. This was absolutely just amazing. Thank you so much, Annalise, for just being vulnerable and sharing your strength with us tonight. I feel like I got to know you so much better. And if you guys see Annalise out there running up that hill, give her a high five, give her a hug. She could very well be with a million people, or she could be there by herself. We'd like to go there by ourselves as well. We're not crazy.
Yeah.
But we'd love to meet you guys out there. We have Hills for ETL going on at 7:30 in the morning. It's right. Watch the sunrise. And then we're also doing it again at 6:30 p.m. Definitely come check us out. We'd love to see you out there.